Good morning, Tony.
How are you this morning?
Yes, no, I'm good. I'm good. Raring to go. All good.
All good. Something that's coming up this week, Geminid meteor showers. Now, there are lots and lots of different meteor showers during the year. What makes the Geminid so special, and how did they come into being as the Geminids as opposed to anything else?
Okay, many questions there, Tony. Great.
As always.
Good ones as well. For any of your listeners who might not know, for example, what is a meteor shower to start with? And a meteor shower is like an increased number of shooting stars. Now, we all see shooting stars at night. And a shooting star is when debris hits our Earth's atmosphere, and it can be as small as a speck of dust, and it vaporizes, and you have that bright flash of light, and that's what we call a shooting star, isn't it? So it's just a speck of dust, or even a bit larger perhaps sometimes, vaporizing in the Earth's atmosphere, creates that light, and we see it streaking across the sky. And you can see that every night, on a clear night of course, all year long, because of course our planet is passing through dust and dirt and debris all the time. There's masses of it out there. A meteor shower is when you can expect to see a lot more shooting stars. And there are various times of the year, as you so rightly say, Tony, when we dig through much more material, and that creates these showers of shooting stars, meteors as they're called. And we're coming up to one now, and it is the Geminids meteor shower. In fact, it's one of the best ones of the year, and this year it's going to be particularly good because we've got a very, very slender moon which will be out of the way. So effectively we're going to have about 12 hours of good dark sky. So we need a clear sky, of course, but if we get clear sky, so no clouds, it's a really good time for everyone to go outside as soon as it's dark and look up at the night sky, and you will see for sure more shooting stars. Now, why are there suddenly more now? Well, a shower happens because at certain times of the year our planet passes through the leftover material that's normally left over from a comet. And a comet is an icy object that's come from the further reaches of the solar system and beyond. They're on various orbital periods, so they're looping into the solar system, normally around the sun. Some don't always make that passage, but they loop around the sun and they go back out into the solar system and beyond. But when they've done that, of course, because they're approaching the sun, material on the comet, on that lump of icy rock, ablates. It sort of evaporates, and that creates those beautiful tails that we see. And even though that comet has passed through, it has left the material behind it, and that stays there. And so at a fixed time of year, every year, we go through that same tail that's been left there. There's all that material hitting the Earth's atmosphere, creating numerous shooting stars. So tomorrow night, so the night of the 13th and 14th, and also the 14th and 15th, we're going to be passing through a particularly clumpy area of debris that's been left over from an asteroid, which is a minor planet, and it's the it's an Apollo asteroid, and it's called Phaethon. And that asteroid has left that tail. It's about 5 kilometers wide, so it's quite a big lump of rock, and it has an orbital period of just over 523 days. So it's on a loop that lasts 523 days as it passes around into our solar system and beyond. We're going to be passing through the tail of that asteroid, and we're going to see a lot more shooting stars. And the Geminid is always a really good one every year. If it's clear skies and the moon's out the way, you can expect to see a lot of activity before midnight, but even more afterwards.
I was going to say, we go stand in the garden and look at some of these things, and my wife's always going, oh, look, I saw a flash there. And by the time I look up, I've missed it. And I stand there. And the problem with these things is that they truly are quite random, aren't they?
They're very random. They emanate from a particular area of the sky, Tony, and it's called the radiant. And in this case, they radiate from the constellation of Gemini, the twins. Now, if any of your listeners aren't sure what that looks like, just Google it. There are star maps all over Google. It will show you what to look for and where to look. And the shooting stars appear to radiate from that point in the sky. So Castor and Pollux, the twins. So that's the area that you need to be looking in. But to be honest, You just need to find yourself a nice comfortable lounger, lay back, wrap up warm, get a flask of coffee because it does get cold, lay back and look up at the entire sky, because actually they appear to come from all over the sky. And there should be plenty of them. And it's funny actually, Tony, when you say that, you know, if you point them out to someone and bang, they've gone. It's not actually like that. Sometimes these shooting stars can last quite a few seconds. You can have big streaks across the sky and you can actually say to someone, gosh, look, there's one. And they can turn, they can see it too, because they're there for, you know, quite a good few seconds. And I've seen some really, really big ones that have lasted many seconds streaking across the sky. Absolutely stunning.
You just have to have a bit of patience with it, I do believe, if I'm right. And funny you mention Castor and Pollux, because before we came on here, I was looking at some bits and pieces. It said, top three things to see in the night sky in December. Throughout the month, find Castor and Pollux, the twins of Gemini. It's almost like a competition.
I'm not sure why they particularly say Gemini, the Castor and Pollux, because to me, and I'm sure to many astronomers, the whole of the sky is stunning at the moment. And I think without a doubt, the best constellation to see is Orion, the giant. And it is looking absolutely stunning at the moment. In fact, the other night it was in a sort of pole position outside my bedroom window. So I didn't even have to get out of bed to look at it.
It's the ultimate lazy astronomer.
Absolutely, but well, it was freezing cold that night. But because it was freezing cold, of course, because it was a beautifully clear sky, and all of the stars that make up Orion the Hunter, especially, you know, the big three stars across the belt, they were all absolutely stunning. And of course, to the left of Orion, you've got the brightest star in the entire sky, Sirius. It's about 8-point-something light years away from us. So the light from that star has taken 8 years to reach.
Can I just ask you on that one? Is it the one that's directly above your head in the sky? Because it always seems to be there's a very bright star up there.
Good question. No, that's actually Jupiter. That's Jupiter.
But it seems to be there all the time.
Yeah, it is. Well, it has been. It's transiting, of course. But it was not that long ago that it was at opposition. So it's very high up in the sky. It's at a good altitude. And it means that you can see it all pretty much all night long. And it's looking stunning.
Ridiculously bright.
Yes, it is. So that's, of course, because Jupiter is a much bigger planet. It's much, much bigger than us. Highly reflective, of course. And it is looking beautiful. And, of course, the higher up in the sky it is, the thinner the atmosphere. So it does look brighter. There's, you know, it's not muted by the atmosphere in between. It's looking stunning. And likewise, have you noticed in the morning as well, Tony, there's another bright object up there?
Go on.
That's Venus.
I was going to say to you, before you go any further, that was the other thing that I was going to say, because this article says, throughout the month, spot Venus in the early mornings, and you've taken the wind out of me on that one, so well spotted.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, it's rising just over 4 hours before sunrise, but obviously if you're up in a nice dark sky, so if you're up early in the morning, way before the sun, we've got these lovely dark mornings still, haven't we? And when it's clear, Venus is looking absolutely gorgeous. I think it's something like magnitude minus 4.1, which is very, very bright. So you need to be looking southeast, look up, and you can't miss it. I mean, even in daylight, you know, with the sun about to breach the horizon. So, we're out and about moving horses or whatever. It's daylight as far as we're concerned. If you look up, you can still see Venus. It's that bright. Looking gorgeous.
Spectacular, spectacular. And, of course, one of the things when you're talking about it being dark when you get up and all the rest of it is that in a couple of weeks' time, of course, all that's going to start to change very gradually as the nights get shorter again, because we have the winter solstice coming our way it's less than 2 weeks. It's actually in about 10 days' time, isn't it?
Yes, on the 22nd, I know, the shortest day. It's incredible, because I actually think that the days are pulling out already. It feels to me, the other day, was it something like 4:15 in the afternoon? In fact, approaching 4:30, I was driving back from somewhere, and I thought, it's so bright. I mean, it's as if the days are already pulling out, whereas it's normally at sort of quarter past half four this time of year. It's dark. It's not. It's not. It feels like, I know I must be wrong, but it feels like the days are already pulling out. So I know that the shortest one is like the 22nd, isn't it? But the days are getting longer already. It certainly feels like it.
Well, I've just learnt a little bit because I've been sitting here reading this this piece. It's from the Royal Museums at Greenwich, and it says the winter solstice for the Northern Hemisphere, which is the exact point when the Northern Hemisphere is oriented away from the sun. It'll be 3:27 a.m. on to the 22nd of December. And at this moment, the sun will be directly above the Tropic of Capricorn in the Southern Hemisphere. Right. So it's a long way down south. You won't notice anything special happening at this time, but this will be our shortest day of the year with only 7 hours and 49 minutes and 42 seconds of daylight. Someone is counting. So it's really not an awful lot. But after then, fortunately, it starts getting longer again, and we can think more about maybe, well, getting a little bit more of a tan than we had.
Gosh, that feels a long way off at the moment.
Scary,
doesn't
it?
But I say that, but it is scary. But I remember at the start of this year, sort of January, February, up come the daffodils and the snowdrops in January. So, which is always that hopeful sign, isn't it? Because it means spring is on the way.
Not well, it depends on which
away,
part of the press you read, because weather-wise, we could be in for an absolute battering and a total Arctic freeze, or we could be getting blown to kingdom come, or we could be getting drowned in so much rain. It just depends on which publication you read, I suppose.
So much to choose from.
Well, the reason I mention all of that is because I went to a quiz night the other week, and the one of the questions was, when does meteorological winter start? And of course, for most of us that like to find out a little bit more about things like the winter solstice and the spring equinox and all that sort of thing, the seasons change with those particular days. But if you're a meteorologist, it doesn't. It changes on the beginning of the month.
Yeah.
Are the seasons actually getting closer to what the meteorologists talk about?
I know, and any farmer will tell you otherwise as well, any farmer or gardener. I think nature has her own timetable, doesn't she?
She does, and you just wonder why the meteorologists aren't listening.
I have to leave that one with you, Tony.
Well, there you go. I'm guessing many people will be celebrating the winter solstice. And, well, just as a quick recap, get out there really in a couple of tomorrow and the night after and go and look at the Geminids, because it's going to be, well, the show in the sky to meet, well, to beat all the shows in the sky, I suppose.
Yes, I think if any listener has never really seen the shooting star, now is the time.
Well, there you go. Jane, it's been good to catch up with you, as always. Have an absolutely fabulous Christmas. And we will catch up with you again in January and find out, well, the nights will be getting slightly longer, shorter, should I say. And you'll be able to tell us what we can see in the January sky. For now, Jane Green, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony. Happy Christmas to you too.